Good evening, guys. I'm Adrienne Mayfield. I'm here live. Make sure you click that subscribe and like button and share this with a friend. Don't forget, on February 15th, which is next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, I will be hosting a live event here in Atlanta called The Encounter. I did one in 2019. I'm going to do it again this year, apparently. Next Thursday, the 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. Doors will open at 6:30. So if you want more information about it, you know you need to come to a live event. Take off your pajamas, get dressed, and come. Go to adriennemayfield.com and scroll down to the bottom, put your information in. I release all the information, venue, location, information on my via my email list. So go ahead and sign up. We meet every night here at 7 p.m. and at 12 midnight. 12 midnight, we meet for 15 minutes of prayer. At 7 o'clock, we meet just to kind of have a chat and find out what's going on with you guys and where you're tuning in from. And I share a story with you, hopefully with a lesson that resonates with you. And so I hope that you'll meet me at the encounter, that you'll invite some friends. It's going to be a powerful, explosive time. The theme is the God who answers by fire. So if God tells you the theme is the God who answers by fire, you can expect that it's going to be a pretty awesome, powerful, explosive time. So invite your friends, invite your family. It's 100% free, free parking, free event. It's going to be, again, February 15th, 2024, which is next Thursday. And some of you who come every night and watch, you should be sharing the broadcast with your friends and family and telling them about it. And make sure you tell them about the encounter. So I'll tell you probably more about the venue once I gave it all of that stuff solidified tomorrow. But at any rate, let's talk about why you're so angry. So I had a couple of incidences probably over the last week or so where I was having conversations with people. I thought things were going well, talking about something that was, I thought, pretty laid back and low key. You know, I'm a very straight front, upfront person, and so sometimes I think that irritates people. I was actually talking to one of my friends today, and he was saying that he was like, you know, you're very straight at you kind of person, straight legs. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But sometimes people can't take that, and so I always ask people. I try to be very what do they call it? Emotional intelligence. I try to kind of read the room and read people's body language, but sometimes by the time I realize that people are mad, they're already are like here at 100. And so I've been asking the Holy Spirit to help me, show me about that. And so one of the things that I was thinking about as far as anger, a lot of times people look at anger and they like, I'm mad. And if you were to say, well, why are you mad? They would give you the reason, but that's usually not the real reason. The real reason behind anger, the root behind anger most often is rejection. It's the spirit of rejection. So I want you to think about the last time you were really angry. Maybe you didn't act crazy. Maybe you didn't act out of character, but you felt yourself boiling. Maybe you talked yourself down, but you felt yourself just kind of getting revved up. Think about that, what happened the last time. And I want you to think about the events leading up to that, what was said, what was done, and ask yourself, if you felt rejected, if you felt not heard, if you felt misunderstood, if you felt judged, if you felt rejected. Because at the root of anger is usually rejection. And so there's a couple of instances in the Bible where I thought about, as I was thinking today, like, what in the world? I've been moving around trying to get ready for the encounter, trying to get venue, location, all this stuff together so that we can have an event of that really personifies and exemplifies who God is, want to do it in excellence. So I've been trying to work on all those details, plus my day job, which I have to do, and checking on clients and all that kind of stuff. So just a lot of moving pieces. And so I was thinking about, you know, what about anger? Where does it come from? And I immediately went to the book of Genesis, right? So in the book of Genesis, you had Cain and Abel, who were the two sons of Adam and Eve, right? And so they were presenting sacrifices. Abel presented his best. Cain presented his not so best. And so God was displeased with Cain's sacrifice because it wasn't his best. And so if you're not aware, then Cain unalived his brother. I think that's the way that you can say it without the algorithm tagging you, but he unalived his brother, right? And so Cain unalived his brother. And when God came to ask him, like, you know, where's your brother? He's like, am I my brother keeper? Like, why are you asking me? I don't know. And he's saying this to God, right? The God of the universe. And so then he's like, you know, why are you so angry? Do you not realize that sin is crouching at the door and it desires to have you, but you have to master it. If you had not offered an appropriate sacrifice, would I not have accepted it? And so you see that he unalived his own brother because he felt that God rejected his sacrifice. And it's like, well, why are you always accepted? And so he unalived him. But God said to him, I would have equally accepted what you offered if you give me your best, but you chose not to give me your best. And so that's one of the examples early on in the Bible of someone being angry and just getting out of hand and unaliving somebody, right? And we also have the story of Joseph with his brothers. Well, why were Joseph's brothers so angry? Well, his dad made a cardinal mistake that parents should never make. He favored Joseph over his brothers, right? And so it was obvious because he gave Joseph this coat of many colors and the other brothers didn't have a coat. So I'm sure they like, what makes him so special? Like, and then Joseph had this dream where they were bowing down to him and his mother and father were bowing down. And they like, dude, I mean, I don't know what you own, but you're doing the most. Like, we are not bowing down to you. You already got that coat. You walk around here like you all that, like you are not all that. And so they actually plotted to unalive him. And then one of the brothers said, no, let's just throw him in a pit. Well, they had thrown him in a pit. And then they were like, he was like, no, well, some people are coming. Let's just sell him instead. And so they decided to sell him. And so they sold him off. He became a slave. If you know the story, if not, you should read it. And, you know, he had temptations, but he actually became second to the prime minister. And so he was able to spare his family and save up for the famine that they went through. And so the point of this story is, though, that his brothers were angry. Why were they so angry? Because they felt rejected. He had this dream that made them seem like they were inferior to him. And also their father gave him this coat, which makes him like the favorite son. And so they're like, okay, we don't like you. And it made them angry enough that they sold their brother into slavery. And the last example I want to share tonight is the story of the prodigal son. Now, most of you may be familiar with the story of the prodigal son, but basically there was this wealthy father. This younger son came to him and said, hey, I'm not waiting for my inheritance, which is insulting in itself, because if you want your inheritance, you get your inheritance when someone passes away. So saying I want my inheritance now is kind of like a slap in the face. You don't even want to wait until I pass away. You just want it now. But anyway, his father gave it to him. He went away. He ruined it. He lost everything. We're riotous living, hanging out, you know, doing crazy stuff. And then he was about to eat pig slop. And he was like, wait a minute. The Bible says he came to himself and said, here I am about to eat slop with pigs, which was, you know, really horrible. And my dad has all these amazing things. I'm going to go back to him and I'm going to tell him I'll be a slave. Well, the Bible says that as he was coming, his father ran and greeted him, which means he had to be looking out for him. And he had threw a big party for him, gave him his robe, gave him his ring. And it's this big celebration. Well, his older brother is like, what is that party? Like, why? What's the celebration? What's going on? And then they say, well, your brother has come back. So then he was angry. So he was like, dad, all this time I've been here with you. I've served you. I've never left. I didn't go and waste your money on riotous living with women and harlots and all that stuff. And you never threw a big party for me. Now, why would you throw this big party for him? Now, I know some of you are probably like, if you are hearing these stories for the first time, and even if you're not, like, whoa, these dudes are a trip. But if you search your own heart, I'm sure that God will show you that somewhere in your heart, you've probably felt the same way, right? This jealousy, this comparison, imposter syndrome, envy, looking at people, not liking people just because you don't like. I don't know why I don't like her. I just don't like her. Women are bad, notorious for saying it. I don't know. It's just something about her. I don't like her. And usually the root of that is jealousy and envy. And so those things, the Bible says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And jealousy can lead you to do really, really, really bad things to people, hate people, talk about them, gossip them, and it can even go further than that. And so his father said to him, well, son, you're with me all the time. Anything that I have is yours. The fatted calf was here all the time. You've been here. So your brother has come back. You should be happy. You should be celebrating. Your brother who's lost is now found. And so the question that I want to pose to you is, if you have found this good thing, if you know who Jesus is, if he's the Lord of your soul and he's now your Savior, are you sharing the good news? Are you sharing who he is with you? And if someone that you thought wasn't worthy of God were to get saved, would you be angry? That's a good question to pose and ask ourselves is, do we not tell people because we think, well, they might change and then they won't get punished? Because a lot of times when people do things to us, we want them to get punished. And we think, well, if I don't forgive them, then maybe I'll just hold them and then nothing good will happen. And if I forgive them, what if they go on? What if God blesses them? But you should want God to bless them, because we're all in need of forgiveness. We're all in need of God's blessings. And so don't be so angry. Don't be big mad, as they say. Sit down with the Father and let him really unpack your heart. Go down deep and figure out what the root is, because we already talked about most anger, the root of it is rejection. And so the Bible says that he's given us the spirit of adoption, which means that he's accepted us as his own and invited us into his family. So we should never have to feel rejected. We should never have to feel despised or alone, because God has adopted it. So if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will adopt you as his son. He will invite you into his family, and you have all the rights and all the privileges as a son. And so there's no reason to be angry. There's no reason to be jealous. There's no reason to feel rejected, because God has affirmed you. Even if people don't want to invite you to the party, even if they don't like you, even if they fired you from their job, even if the person broke up with you because it's almost Valentine's Day, and you know, around this time, if you just met somebody and they don't want to spend money on you, or they think you're going to expect them to spend money, they want to do something for Valentine's Day, or they might have two or three girlfriends, they might go missing. So they might go missing between now and the 15th. But that's okay, because on the 15th, you're going to be at the encounter, right? Celebrating God. And allowing God to just wash over you with his love and his power and his presence. So, guys, don't be angry. Don't be mad. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So don't allow anger to sap and take away your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So be happy in the Lord. Be joyful in the Lord. What belongs to you is yours. No one can take it. What God has for you is for you. So be a person who loves people. Be a person who is happy and joyful that people are taking advantage of knowing God like you do. And so just understand that anger destroys you. Anger is a physical thing. It's an emotion, but it also affects you physically. I see someone says in the notes, people hold on to anger because this is all they have and they don't know who they are without it. Yes, do we really want them to be saved and delivered, or is there a payoff for us? Yes, that's true. Some people think that's all they have, but holding on to that anger is like that picture that they have of the python. You know, pythons, they grab onto things and they hold it with a grip. And so I saw a meme one time of a python that was wrapped around a saw. And so literally the saw was cutting the python because it was squeezing it. But out of its nature, because of who it is as a python snake, it was squeezing the saw. And so it was squeezing something, holding on to something that was actually killing it. Wow, that was powerful. So that's something you need to remember. Remember that imagery, that you're holding on to this anger. You're holding on to this. I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I can't let it go. Remember the python. If you've never seen it, you probably can Google it. But think about a python, because you know they have a tight grip. This python is gripped around the saw, and you literally see the blood and stuff coming out because it's gripping the saw with these jagged edges that's actually cutting the python. And so that's what happens to anger. That's what happens to bitterness when you hold it inside of you. It's actually eating away at you slowly. And so we talked about Cain and Abel. We talked about Joseph, right? And I also, and we talked about the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. I also want to talk about Jonah very briefly, because we have about 2 seconds left. But Jonah, of course, you know, Jonah, God told him to go to Nineveh and deliver a word. He didn't want to do it because he thought, well, God, know God is merciful, and I go there, they may listen to my message, and they may actually turn, and I want them to be punished. And so he jumped on a boat. Calamity started for the boat. He had to tell him the reason why the boat's having these problems because of me. So he told him to throw him overboard. They threw him overboard. He was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. He repented, and God sent him to Nineveh, and they did repent. And then he was mad, guys, big mad. Look at our hearts. Look at who we are. He's a prophet of God, supposed to want people to be saved, healed, set free, and delivered. And what? He's mad because they actually listened and repented. And so God had to get him straight on that, and he's getting us straight tonight. God is saying to us, don't be big mad. If you do well, will I not receive you? You should be happy and joyful that your brother and sister and people that you know are being blessed, because the same Father that blesses them wants to bless you. So that's the message that God wants to give us tonight. We need to love people. We need to pray for them to be restored. We need to intercede for people as if they were us. We want people to pray for us. That's how you should pray for people, that they come into the family of God. So stop being mad. Stop being angry. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God loves you. He has a plan for your life that has not changed. You just have to embrace it, be obedient to him, and walk with him, and you'll see it manifest. All right. So that is a little overtime. So let's close out the story. I'm going to pray. But remember, on the 15th, February 15th, we're doing the encounter. That's a live event. I'm not going to be posting it on social media because that's too much logistics. So you got to be in the room if you want to be a part. And believe me, you want to be a part. It's going to be a powerful, explosive event. February 15th here in Atlanta, 7 o'clock, 100% free, free parking. Go to adrianmayfield.com, sign up for the email list so that you'll have the information. Share this broadcast with someone who's always mad or who's angry, or share it with someone that you're mad at. And make sure that you sign up so that you can get the information for the encounter. God loves you guys, and he wants you to release this. We were talking about unforgiveness the other night in prayer. We were talking about bitterness, and now he's circling back around to it again. So he's trying to get the message to us. God wants to get something to you, but he can't get it to you as long as you're holding on to anger and unforgiveness. So let it go. Let him heal you and free you. That's what he wants to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. We thank you for the message that you gave us tonight about anger. We confess and repent of our anger. We confess and repent that we've compared ourselves to others, that we thought that you would love others more than us, and that we have not agreed to just accept and sit in your love. And we also repent that we haven't shown your love to others. We know that your word says that the mark of your disciples is the way that we love one another. So we say, increase us in love, help us to walk in love, teach us how to love others, how to love you, and how to love ourselves. We pray for the encounter now that it will be an event that people will come and be blessed. We know that you've already promised us your presence will be there. So we call forth now people from the north, south, east, and west to come and experience your power, experience your glory. We pray for everyone who is watching, those who watch on the replay, and we pray that they will encounter you even before the 15th, that they will encounter you even tonight, and that you will sing over them songs of healing, deliverance, and freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, that's it. I'll see you tonight at midnight for 15 minutes of prayer. So share this with a friend, subscribe to the channel, like the channel, and don't forget to meet me at midnight for prayer. God bless you and have a good night. See you.